Father, we are so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful that we are called your children and the sheep of your pastures. Father, we just pray that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouths would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We just come into your presence this morning with praise and thanksgiving for all the blessings that you have accomplished in each one of us, Father. Father, we walk with you not because we have to, but because we love you. And we do love you, Father. We praise you for all your glory. We praise you, Father, for dying on the cross for us that we might have this glorious salvation. Father, thank you this morning that your word is being illuminated in each one of us, that we are being changed daily into your image and into your likeness, that we are becoming an expression of you in the earth, even in this hour. We glorify and we praise you, O Father. Amen. Inward change can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit illuminating the Word of God within us. The changes that are needed to bring about the manifestation of the sons of God can only be made by the power of the Holy Spirit within. Therefore, it is necessary for us to have a personal relationship with God through the Spirit. It is a necessity that we begin to build that true relationship with God each and every day. Now, I was thinking about success. You know, I use it kind of loosely, Christian or religious world today, success is measured by the beautiful building you have, the number of people you have coming to Sunday morning service. It's not whether or not you're hearing the Word of God. It's all an outward thing. But biblical success, or true success in the child of God's life, is steadily and constantly moving toward accomplishing God's plans and purposes for our lives. It is a journey and not a destination. True success in the kingdom of God has nothing to do with outward expressions. It's all to do with inward. The fact that we are to be a people of change, a people of growth, a people of entering into relationship with a spirit that is God through our spirit, who we really are. A people who the Word of God is being illuminated and brought into revelation within each and every day. And as that change takes place on the inside, it also is seen on the outside. In Isaiah 42 and verse 9, God says, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and a new thing do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." God says, before it comes, I'm going to tell you about it. And I was thinking through all the years, more especially since we've been walking in the Word that we're walking in this hour, that we've all heard many revelations and many prophecies, and seem like at the end of every year there's all sorts of prophetic words that has come forth. And it seems that God is speaking in this hour. You know, we hear all of this, and then there's individuals, even in the message we're in, that all they're desiring is something new. They only want to go hear a minister that has a new word, something they haven't heard before. But you know what God is saying to me in this hour? that it's time for a people to begin to walk in the revelation that we have. We have to walk out that word that God has put in our lives in order to become an expression of God in the earth in this hour. The ultimate end to the revelation that God has given us is the manifestation of the sons of God, or the unveiling of the Son of God in the earth. A corporate son, to be an expression of God to set creation free. God says, before I do something, I'm going to tell you. We're not going to be left behind just because we're not hearing some new word that we've never heard before. The ministry of Jesus was very simple. It was a ministry of change. It was a ministry of coming into the very image and the likeness of God Himself. And the manifestation of God's Son in the earth is what? He is birthing a Son in His image and in His likeness, in His character and in His nature, that the world can see exactly the true God and who He is. Creation cannot see God. Most of creation never reads the Word of God, and if they do read it, they read it through eyes that have been distorted by man's tradition and man's word. But yet, for creation to see a God that is unconditional love, a God who has mercy on all, a God who sent His Son to be the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, that has to be seen in an individual, in the life that we are. And that comes from that personal, intimate relationship with God. God has not given us the responsibility as individuals to save the world, but to stand where we are and to be a light to pierce the darkness that is surrounding us. To show forth that unconditional love. To show forth the reality of who He is. We've got to admit, Christianity has a bad reputation in this hour. I mean, all of the splits, all of the divisions, everything that there is, all of the condemnation, all of the judgment that is spewing forth in the name of religion, all of the hatred that comes out of religion, and people say, oh, that's not true. It is true. There is that is there. This world desires and hungers and is standing on tiptoes to see the unveiling of God's Son in this hour. And that Son is going to be an expression of who God is. An exact expression of who God is. And that Son cannot in any way look down on any individual where they are. And being able to do that comes through growth. We used to talk about going around the mountain all the time and going around again. In other words, we weren't learning the lessons. But you know, true change can only come from the inward revelation or illumination of the Word of God within us. That's the only way true change can come. We can't say, well, I'm going to go and love everybody. Before you know it, you're going to meet up with somebody that absolutely is the roughest grit sandpaper that you've ever met. And they're going to rub you totally wrong, and Adam is going to rise up, and you're going to see who you really are. But when God changes us, when God's Word changes us within, that area of our life will never be the same again. And it becomes our nature to be an expression of His love. It becomes our nature to look at creation through the eyes of our Father. See, that's not natural in the natural realm. The natural realm is out to get you. The natural realm is condemnation and judgment of all that is not right or all that we think is not right. In fact, most of the individuals are still eating at the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil. And God said, you're not to eat at that tree. It's God. God is the creator of all that we see. All things were created by Him and for Him, and there was nothing created that was not created with Him. He is the creator of all. It's God. You look at this world and it's God. And in Ephesians 1:9 it says, He made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has proposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. And I was thinking this week, what do we have to lose? You know, if we follow on to know Christ in all of His fullness and are becoming an expression of Him in the earth, what do you have to lose? Why does it matter if the church looks down its long self-righteous nose and condemns everything that you do? Why does that matter? What do we have to lose? Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul. But you know, what do you have to lose in taking up your cross and following Him? God has proposed that in the end of it all, that He is going to gather all things which are in heaven and in earth back into Himself, that He may be all and in all. And in Isaiah 14:27, for the Lord of hosts has proposed, and who shall disannul? And His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? You know, to flow in the will of God for our lives, what do you have to lose? To enter into that relationship with Him. Jesus said, we're one in Him. That as He is in the world, so are we. That as we behold Him, we are changed, transformed, metamorphosed into the same image. So what if you're the sore thumb that stands out in creation? When all else is filled with hatred and despair and doom and gloom, you are filled with light and the glory of God and the love of God, and you're standing out like a sore thumb. Why does it matter? Beloved, when God takes the veil off, hallelujah, and unveils His Son in the earth, all creation is going to stand in awe at the work that He has done in a people. And when that people, that Son, opens its mouth and begins to speak the word of deliverance into creation, no one is going to be able to resist that word. And the work that God has done in that Son, through that intimate personal relationship with Him, the changes that He has made, that Son will not take one bit of the glory, because it all belongs to the Father. And that Son will know that the works I do of my Father, And the words that I speak are the words that I hear my Father speaks. All the glory will go to Him. You know, He has proposed, who shall disannul it? He stretched out His hand, who shall turn it back? God, we are His children. We are to be an expression. God is expressing Himself in earth through a people that is coming into His likeness and in His glory. In Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Flowing, walking, living, being in the Spirit, who we are. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, there is no, therefore now, no condemnation to those that live in the Spirit. So, what do we have to lose to come and give ourselves in total abandon to our Father? You see, the fact of the matter is that there is a people that God has laid His hand upon to be an expression of Him in the manifestation of a Son in this earth. There is a people that has heard the voice of the Lord. Some of us years ago have been called to sonship, to be a part of this glorious end time ministry, that He has revealed His word that was contrary to that we were preaching at the time, or that we were believing at the time, and through the years has worked in us this glorious word, this glorious vision. And the fact is that the word that we have heard, we must walk it out. It must become a part of us. We are to become an expression of Him in the earth. We are to be a people of change. We've turned our back on that which is behind. We've come out of Babylon. We've entered into relationship with God. And there's nothing to lose. There's nothing to go back to but death. There's nothing back there for us. But when we look before us, there is light and glory. The word of the Lord that is being birthed within us in this hour. We've been predestinated according to His purpose. His word. He chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world. He chose us to be a temple made without hands, a dwelling place of the Father, an expression of Himself in the earth. And He works everything after the counsel of His own will. You know, we don't have to protect or fight for what God has given us. We don't have to defend the word that God has given us. God will defend it Himself. When He takes the veil off and shows the world His Son that He has brought through the processes of change in the furnace of the fire, the gold being purified, that will be the vindication of all that God has done in a people. This world that thinks that you're nothing, the church world that thinks that you're a hypocrite or a heretic, why does it matter? You know, we are an expression of Him on the earth. In Isaiah 46, verse 10, it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel, purpose, shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the ending from the beginning. God is sovereign. God has proposed, and no man can change that which God has proposed. And his revelation of a manifested Son in the earth, no man can change that. That's going to happen in His timing. And the knowledge that we cannot change ourselves, you know, that's, man thinks they can. They spend billions of dollars a year on psychiatrists, trying to self-help and all this, trying to change who they are. But coming to Him and yielding ourselves totally into His hands and saying, Lord, whatever it takes to bring me into that place where You have already predestined that I will stand, let it be. That's what Jesus said. In essence, in the garden, when He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me if it be Your will. But then He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. That which You have predestinated, let it be done. And that will bring about, or bring us to that day and that moment and that second and that instant of manifestation. Father, let it be done. That I might be standing in the purpose of Your fullness of Your will. It will be done. But somewhere in my spirit I still keep hearing. And you may not agree with this, and that's okay. But somewhere in my spirit I keep hearing that if we come to Him personally, intimately, that change can take place a lot faster. That if we spend time with Him, it's not saying that we can make the change. We can't. But He said, My sheep know My voice, hear My voice, and they know it. If we take the time to come into His presence and spend time in His presence, that He will do that change quicker. He's going to do it anyway. And the process is going to happen. But I honestly believe in this hour that He is calling a people to come to Him, to stand in His presence, and to allow that change to happen day by day. It's not something we can do. But we can come into His presence. We can get to know Him intimately. And I believe that is a word that He has given me for this year, is getting to know God intimately. To know who He is. Because when we come to know Him as He is, when we see Him as He is, the Word says we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. We've been taught all these things about God. He's an angry God. He's a God that's holding creation by a thread over the fires of hell, just waiting to get you. All of this misconcepts about who God is. But God's eradicating all of those thoughts out of our minds in this hour. And we're seeing a God that so loved the world that He gave His uniquely begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see a God who gave His Son to become the propitiation, the Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. We see a God who said that in the consummation of the ages, that He will gather all back into Himself. We see a God that is full of love and mercy for those that which He created And that is all of creation. That He cares not only for you and I, but for all this creation. And as we come to know Him as He is, we come to be like Him in His image and in His likeness. And that's already been predestinated. But I do believe in this hour that He is calling the people to come into His presence intimately. He says, I'll do a new thing, but before I do it, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And we look in this world today, and if I didn't know God as how I know Him, fear would grip my heart, because all we can see is distrust, hatred, all that's happening in our country and in our world. But yet when I look into His eyes, I see that the glory of the Lord is risen upon His people. That God's light is dispelling the darkness in the midst of His people. And I'm often reminded that when Israel was in Egypt, and the darkness was upon the land of Egypt, the Word says that there was light in Goshen, but in Egypt there was darkness. In the life of the child of God in this hour that is following on to know God, in all of His fullness, there is light that is arising as a noonday sun. And the Word is illuminating the lives of those whom God has laid His hand upon and called to be sons in this hour. There is no darkness in God. That day has dawned, and the sun is arising to His noonday position. As we behold Him, we become like Him and are changed into His likeness. Oh, that we may know and see the fullness of His love and care for you and me. Oh, that we may know and see His mercy for you and I. That song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. To know the magnitude of the salvation that He has given to you and I. It's not something that we've paid for or worked for or can do, because we can't please God in anything that we do. And He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. That we may know Him in the fullness of who He is. That His Word being revealed and unveiled within the midst of us, we may walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. To know Him as He is. Amen. Praise God.